make it right. Make it right. If it ain't right, make it right. If I did you wrong, let's make it right. I don't want to walk through life being wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Let's make it right. I want to make it right with him first. If I make it right with him first, I'll make it right with you too. Because if I'm not right with him, I'll never be right with you. Hallelujah. And whenever that little, whether it be a feeling of prayer, stop on the side of the road, brother, you better move when it's troubled. Pray when it's time to pray. Don't say, well, I'll do that later. No, you better, when the feeling is there, do it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because it'll pass. It'll pass. When the water is troubled, it's time to get in. Hallelujah. It's not time to wait on somebody else. Get in. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I thought I was doing worship this morning. I got confused on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Hallelujah. So I'm doing teaching worship. Let's go to Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. I want to read for you a passage of scripture to direct your attention to, and I will use this as my text this morning. Acts 12 and 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Anybody ever heard of prayer chains? Hallelujah. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping, when he was to be executed, the man was asleep between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And the angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And so he did. He did. Oh, Lord, let's get ready to go. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not. Everybody say, wist not. He did not know that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, he was in the inner prison, the first ward and the second ward, where they kept the hardest of criminals. I mean, they got him back there with the murderers. All he was doing was preaching in Jesus' name. They came into the iron gate. That was that last mega gate that leadeth into freedom. It leadeth into the city. It was the gate that lets them in and out from prison to freedom, which opened to them of his own accord. Wow. And they went out and passed through one street, forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he recollecting something was real here. He came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And from there he goes on to the house that was praying for him. I want to talk about, he knew it not, and then when it happened, it was like it was over with. I want to talk about, it will happen before you know it. It will happen before you come to your senses. Lord, I come before you this morning. I'm so glad that you do have angels. Lord, we don't worship them. We don't come bow down before them. But Lord, we are surrounded this morning by a huge, innumerable company of angels and saints that are cheering us on, hallelujah, to the finish line. I'm thankful, God, you got guardian angels. I'm thankful, Lord, you got those that awake us up and feed us, for the journey is long, as was told to one of your prophets, Lord. We've got to be ready to go, hallelujah. Minister to us so we'll get ready to move and follow you in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank God. How many of you want the Lord to lead you? I do. I want the Lord to lead me. The Bible talks about how he led the children of Israel out with a mighty hand, but he drug them all the way. I mean, I've seen mamas lead their kids like this, and they're kicking and screaming. I watched one lady. She just picked him up. His feet was doing like this. She just picked him up. Walked him right out. Albertsons. walked him right. He was being led, but let me tell you, I want to give God my hand and my heart. You can give him your hand, not give him your heart. But if you give him your heart, you'll say, here's my hand. Hallelujah. I want God to lead me without struggle, without fight, without rebellion, without question, without just, Lord, lead me. Let your spirit lead me. You know, the Holy Ghost is a leader. It is a guide. Lead me into all truth. I want to know more about truth. Amen. We talked before about, and I talk a lot about the people inside of you. Those people inside of you that's more than just you, the two manner of people that's inside of you, the fleshly one and that spiritual one. Each one of those two inside of you has its own will and its own desires and has its own ways. You know, each one of them is hungry and thirsty, but for different things. But they all hunger and thirst. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, I'll fill you with spirit. So when the flesh gets strong, then the spirit gets weak. And when spirit gets strong, then the flesh gets weak. And we have to realize that through our weaknesses, we find out the strength of our God. Amen. One side of you wants to fight, and the other side wants to give out. One wants to throw in the towel and say, I quit. And the other one said, they'll never take me alive. I'll fight till I die. Two manner of people are inside of you struggling. And there was many twosomes in the Bible. I won't mention but a couple here this morning. But there was many twosomes that was in the Bible. One of them that comes to my attention is Ruth and Orpha. And inside of you is a Ruth, and inside of you is an Orpha. And oh, I could preach a lot about the twosomes of the Bible. But Orpha was that one that wanted to quit. Orpha was that one, I give you a kiss and tell you goodbye. And I'm telling you, Orpha's story ended with a kiss, much like Judas's story ended with a kiss. And anytime you tell your God goodbye, that's where the story ends. It ends right there. If you tell the Holy Ghost goodbye, you're going to have to come back to that same spot where you lost it and pick it up there again. And so Orpha was that one that wanted to quit. It didn't take a whole lot of encouragement, Sister Raynell, to get her to quit. People that want to quit, honey, you don't have to tell them, but hey, if you want to stay, we don't need you. Oh, good, I had some other things in mind anyway. And she encouraged both of them to quit. There's one side of you that wants to quit, and there's another one that says, press on. There's one inside of you called Ruth that says, entreat me not. No. Don't tell me about all that stuff that happened to me in my past. I know what I lost. I still want to. I don't have anything. I know you don't have anything, but my soul is tied to you. Don't you understand? My soul is tied to you. When Orpha kissed the gate, if you will, to her destiny and told it goodbye, her story was over. But Ruth, my friend, said, entreat me, Lot, for your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people. Where you live, I live, and where you die, you might as well get another grave, because I will die there too. She was knit, her soul was knit, if you will, to her ma-in-law. And her ma-in-law began to say, yeah, but honey, you don't understand. Girls, listen to me. You don't understand. I went out full, and I'm going back empty. I had a husband, and you had husbands, and that was my two sons, and guess what? I've lost it all, and you did too. Why would you want to follow an old empty woman? But inside of her, little did Naomi know, she was really fuller or more full than she'd ever been. And Ruth knew that her destiny was tied to this bitter woman, because that bitterness wasn't going to last forever. Hallelujah. Thinking that she went out full and was coming back empty. But inside of her was Ruth's destiny. She lost her husband and her two boys down in Egypt, or wherever she was sojourning. I'm here to tell you, if those three important people in her life were meant to be the three that would take her into her destiny, they would not have died. But they were not part of fulfilling her destiny, so they went away. Don't cry over what goes away. Because if it goes away, it's not part of your destiny. Do you understand that? Just let it go, because it's not part. And so Ruth, you see, Orpha's destiny end. We don't read any more about it, but let me tell you something. Ruth's destiny still speaks today. Because through her, she married another man named Boaz. Hallelujah. And Boaz had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David. And David was a man after God's own heart. And God had a man named Jesus who was made after the likeness of David. And so he still lives today. So whatever dies in your, let it die. Because it's not part of your destiny. Hallelujah. Some inside of you is this Orpha that wants to draw back. Inside of you is this Orpha that says, I want to throw in the towel. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that he'll have no pleasure in them that draw back unto perdition or to destruction. When you draw back, he said, to perdition, that is to draw back to your own destruction. But he said, I am one of those that believe to the saving of the soul. That's a Ruth. Hallelujah. Let Orpha go and let Ruth press on this morning. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Inside of you is a Jacob and there is an Esau. Two manner of people. Jacob carefully and skillfully. Watch this morning. I want to show you something about Jacob I never really realized. He carefully and skillfully planned his future. He was not haphazard in what he did. This man did things with a motive behind it. The right motive, wrong way, right motive. Esau was one that's inside of you that'll make quick decisions and not understand the long-term consequences of moment decisions. Jacob was a man that we say was conniving, but at least he planned for his future. Yes, he did. Esau lived for the moment and despised his future, for the birthright was the future of the man. Do you understand that? The birthright was the future of that man. Esau despised waiting, much like the prodigal son. He wanted control of it now. Give it to me now. And he wasted. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. It's okay that a lady get married and have a child. That's good. But she needs to be married and not be 15 years old having one. The timing is wrong. And so the time, he didn't want to wait. He wanted it now. And he got it and he got control and he lost it all. And so when we really talk about Jacob, we say he was conniving, and he was. But we must understand, listen close, we must understand he was only one moment from being the firstborn. He was a twin. That's how close he came to being the firstborn. He was planting in the womb. He had Esau by the heel. He was wanted to be the firstborn, even when he didn't even know it. He wanted to be the firstborn. He wanted that birthright. He wanted his future. And we've always criticized him and said, that conniver, that supplanter. And he was. But look how close he was to having it all. He was so close. It could have been Esau would have been second, and he would have been first. And he realized how close he was. He wasn't 10 years later. I think we'd have read this, and he'd have been 10 years old by the time Jacob was born. We wouldn't read about this. But it got to him that he was so close to being the firstborn. Man, that could have been me. They might have swapped me at birth. I don't know. I might have come out first. You'd be surprised how many people raising somebody else's kid today got swapped. And so I had compassion on him because I realized how close he came to prosperity and having the birthright and the double blessing, and he only missed it by a moment. Oh, my. If he had come out head first, Lord have mercy, you know, he would have had everything that life could have offered. Jacob's story to me is more now. I see him different than I've ever seen him before. I see him as the comeback kid. I see him as the guy that said, Lord, I almost had it all. The doctor got it messed up. I should have been the first one. I'm the one that loves the things of God. I'm the one that cherishes what my father had. This joker that came out first, he doesn't care anything about it. So let me have it. He despises it. So give it to me. Have you ever come so close you could almost taste it? Huh? So close. Some of us need to thank God that we came out first. You could have been second. Oh, I'm telling you, I've seen sisters that were born, you know, and brothers too, and they'd just be a little bit different. You know, one half a chromosome or something. And this one, and I could see one in my mind right now. I know, and one of them was a beauty queen. You hear me? She won every contest she could be in. Her sister couldn't win anything. Just that much difference. Just that much. Just a little bit. You could tell they were sisters. There was no problem. But one of them was beautiful, and the other one was like tangle-eyed, you know, like Leah. You better be glad you got what you got. You could have been, you know, your mama could have dropped you at 3. You don't know. You could have been left out. You know, you can't change some things. You can't change your past. You can't change your raising. You can't change your genetics. But, Lord, you better thank God for what you do have. Hallelujah. Thank him for what you do have. Some of y'all got a head start in life. Others didn't have. They had to play catch-up all their life. And that's what Jacob was doing. He was playing catch-up all of his life. Hallelujah. And we have to be careful of this Esau in us that can't see the long-term value of making a decision and then living it out. And we need to have that Jacob spirit. Not everybody gets a head start in life. Some people have to work their way up. And they'll say, one way or another, I'm going to be like so-and-so. One way or another, I'm going to be the head and not the tail. One way or another, I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. One way or another, I'm going to make prosperity out of my life, even though it didn't start out good. And that was Jacob. He realized how close he was. So here's this man who finally got the double blessing. He got the birthright, and he's running with it all. And you know where he's headed? To his mother's brother's house. He's headed to Laban's house in Haran. And before he found Laban's house, sister, he found God's house. Before you find where you're really wanting to go, you're going to find God along the way. Before you get there, you're going to have to encounter God. Somewhere along the way, you got to make it right. And so there he comes to this place. And the Bible says that Jacob, when the sun went down, he lit upon a place. The man is rich. You hear me? He is wealthy. You hear me? He's got everything that he thought he should have had if he had come out first. But he's running and he's tired and he's weary. And now he's facing the same thing his brother did when he said, what good will my birthright do me if I faint? Now he's at the same place. What good's all this stuff going to do me if I got to run all my life to try to keep it? And he finds this place, and I'm telling you how tired he was. How many of you slept on a pillow last night? Well, this man slept on rocks. He got rocks. He's rich, he's wealthy, and he's got rocks for a pillow. He finds some rocks to lay his tired, weary head on. And you had a pillow last night. An air condition, running water, all these things. He laid his head on that rock, tired and exhausted. He went to sleep. And when he went to sleep, he sees a vision. See, I'm going somewhere because Peter, I'm going to liken what he sees a vision, what he thinks he's seeing. And he sees this vision, and there's angels up and down the ladder, and a voice, the Lord Almighty is at the top. And while he's sleeping, let me just tell you something. He's not on a 3-day fast seeking God. I'm sorry. I'm not against three-day fast seeking God. He wasn't on a prayer journey, you know, going from room to room and praying in each room. He wasn't doing that. I'm not against that. He wasn't reading his Bible, trying to get an answer from God. He was running. He was running. He had just messed his brother up again. He said he's done it again. But in his, while he's seeing the angels go up and down, a voice speaks unto him. And the voice says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And wherefore thou liest, wherever you lie, he said, I will give it to you. And thy seed shall be numberless as the dust of the earth. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. I am your God and you are my people. He was just really giving him a blessing that his father could not give him. And he awoke and he came to himself. And when he awoke out of his sleep, he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. This is none other. It's a fearful and a dreadful place. But this, he said, is the house of God, and it is the gate to heaven. A gate, last time I checked, gives you access. I put up a gate at my camp to keep people from coming into my yard. They don't get me started. I shouldn't have thought of that. Help me, Lord. I got tired of them coming on their golf carts. Yeah. Coming down the road, riding in my yard, and making tracks in my yard. I finally had enough of it. You never had enough of something? Brother, you had enough of that trash in your yard? Yes, sir. I'm going to quit doing that, I promise you. And so I called the district attorney. You know, when I had enough of something, I had enough of it. I called the district attorney, nicest man in the world. He got my vote. I know how they get votes now. He got my vote. He said, man, I can't see why you can't close that off. You own property on both sides of the road. He said, call the police jury and tell them I said so. I called the police jury. He said, we're going to have a meeting and we're going to vote on that. Man, they voted it in, said, close it. I said, thank you, Jesus. So I closed the road. I'm sorry, I'm a little carnal sometimes, but as I was hanging the gate, here come that little buggy. I looked, there was a pile of kids in there. Gonna come down there and swim off of my rock point. And they saw it, I thought that guy in the back was gonna fly off. I might have helped him, I don't know. But they stopped and they turned around somebody else's yard this time. And I'm like, I realized the fence didn't do it. I had a fence. That didn't do it. It's the gate. It's the gate, honey. You got to have a gate. He woke up and said, this is not only the house of God, but it is the gate. It is the access to the things of God. I was getting it by hook and crook and doing it wrong. I was crawling over the fence. I was trying to get in some other way, but I realized I found the gate. And when you found the gate to heaven, you got access to everything God has to offer. I don't need to hook and crook. I don't need to tell lies. I don't need to swindle people. I got the gate. He told Abraham, you'll control the gate of your enemies.